Support for the Morning News comes from the Homer Foundation. Spring is a busy season for community grant making on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. Scholarship committees meet, city grants are awarded, and the Homer Foundation's Youth Advisory Committee reviews proposals and recommends funding for youth-focused programs. Information about community grants, scholarships, and the Homer Foundation is available at homerfoundation.org. The Homer Foundation. Give. Grow. Grant.
Today is Friday, July 17th, 2026. I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. The latest campaign finance data in Alaska's U.S. Senate race show Democrat Mary Peltola has vastly outraised incumbent Republican Senator Dan Sullivan. Peltola's campaign raised $6.9 million since April 1st, while Sullivan raised more than $2 million. Those figures don't include other pots of money the candidates control. With those added, Sullivan campaign spokesperson Nate Adams says Sullivan's quarterly total is more than $3 million.
Our campaign continues to raise the resources necessary to run and to win a Senate campaign, and that we've done that quarter over quarter. This last quarter was no different.
Fundraising is an imperfect measure of a campaign's appeal and organization, and because Alaska is considered a battleground state that could decide which party controls the Senate, money is pouring into both campaigns from all over the country. Adams emphasized the senator's cash on hand. He has more than $8 million in his campaign account, while Peltola has $6 million.
She may be winning the fundraising battle, but she is very handily losing the effectiveness battle as it relates to spending her money.
Peltola campaign spokesperson Harry Child says the vast majority of Peltola's donations are small, averaging $50 per donor. Child acknowledges that non-Alaskans contributed much of Peltola's haul, but says her campaign resonates around the state. A lack of food resources in Alaska this summer means that bear conflicts might be more likely, and a new study suggests that having a dog could more than double that chance. As KMXT's Catherine Irving reports, study authors say there are precautions people can take to protect themselves and their dogs.
Tom Smith is the study's lead author and a research wildlife biologist at Brigham Young University in Utah. He spent more than 30 years studying bears, and several of those years in Kodiak.
It's bear country, I mean, right out the back door.
Smith remembers the moment he first decided to do this study. It was fall 2023. A couple and their dog, experienced backcountry campers, had been fatally mauled by a bear inside their tent in Canada's Banff National Park. Press and park staff both came to him for advice.
The takeaway was they did everything right, and yet they got fatally mauled. But as a bear biologist, I said, no, that's not the message. And I said, I would never take a dog in bear country, period.
Smith explains that dogs and bears are natural enemies. Bears evolved from the ancestors of wolves around 50 million years ago, but there are still a lot of similarities between the two. Wolves and bears compete for food and territory and have been known to kill each other's young.
There's not been a lot of love lost between those two species, so now when you take a mutated wolf, which we call a domestic dog, and put it on a rope, what do you expect?
Older research had suggested that dogs could be helpful in bear country because they alert owners to the presence of bears and protect their owners in the event of an attack. But other research and anecdotal evidence from wildlife managers suggested that bear conflicts were more likely when a dog was present. Smith wanted to see if this was true.
If you go with conventional wisdom, it usually is pretty good, but there's some out there stuff in science. You have to really go after the data.
He and another of these study's authors have spent decades sorting through news stories and reports from thousands of black, brown, and polar bear encounters across the United States and Canada. Smith found that in more than 300 conflicts, people with dogs were more than twice as likely to have a negative encounter, and that dogs initiated the conflict with the bear more than half the time. Off-leash dogs were six times more likely to cause problems than leash dogs. Dogs also alerted their owners to the presence of a bear less than 10% of the time.
That's kind of what we've been telling people for years around here with bears.
That's Larry Van Dale, a retired wildlife biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and current executive director at the Kodiak Brown Bear Trust. Van Dale says that for the most part, coastal brown bears in Kodiak and other parts of Alaska are less likely to be aggressive towards people and pets than their grizzly bear cousins in the lower 48. He says this is partly because the bears have more abundant food sources here.
Grizzly bears have to work a lot harder for their food than brown bears do. Brown bears have big berry patches, they have places to graze the grass, they have a lot of salmon coming in and so forth.
That doesn't mean there haven't been bear incidents. A woman and her dog fended off a black bear in Cooper Landing just last month. In fact, Van Dale says it's a good idea to be on higher alert around bears this year. The unusually long and cold winter gave berry bushes in Kodiak and the rest of Alaska a late start, so Van Dale says there will be a smaller crop this year, and local salmon runs haven't been very strong so far.
If they're, you know, kept out of the dump and don't have the berry patches, and if we don't have a good salmon run in the buskin or a pillar or whatever, they could become a little bit more grouchy, and this whole idea of dogs could be a much more important aspect to think about than in normal years.
Fern Bendio is a research assistant at Brigham Young University and a co-author on the study. She says not taking your dog into bear country is the best way to avoid problems. But if that isn't an option, like in Kodiak, then you can lower your chances of an attack by keeping your dog on a leash.
There's a really specific sequence of events where, like, the dog would be off leash. It's running ahead on the trail. I'm sure you can picture this. And then it runs into a bear and it gets scared. And what does your dog do when it gets scared? It runs right back to the owner, to a safety person.
Bendio also suggests that people have bear spray on hand anytime they go hiking, and even when they let their dog out into the yard. Lead author Smith says that their study is by no means the full story. He'd love to do a survey that includes responses from people who had peaceful encounters with bears too, but he hopes studies like his will help keep people safe in bear country. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Catherine Irving.
And that's it for this morning's news. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 in Homer and 88.1 FM in Seward through translator K201AO. Also online at kbbi.org. News tips and story ideas can be sent to news@kbbi.org. This morning's newscast included stories from Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin and KMXD's Catherine Irving. Tune in to KBBI tonight at 7 p.m. for the Benel Arts by Air featuring Hallie Jade. Raised in Homer, Hallie Jade is an Americana singer-songwriter whose music blends raw storytelling, nostalgic lyricism, and emotionally honest songwriting. Tickets for the in-person performance are available at benelarts.org. The live broadcast starts here on KBBI at 7 p.m. KBBI is also still accepting submissions for art for this year's members' mug. You can find the rules and a template at kbbi.org. Listening. Good morning.